Now, folks really, honestly need to repent. There is trouble coming this way for planet Earth. And of course, there is protection for those who abide in Jesus Christ. And if that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. Right? And so if the Word of God abides in you, it lives in you, it's coming out of your mouth, that's a whole different situation from someone who's in rebellion and doing their own thing. And hence, we got an awesome revelation given to Trish Conway on the 29th. It's all about Hagar being cast out. Let me share it with you. It's very interesting. The dream begins with me greeting a woman that used to be with us, but I have not seen in a while. Well, we know what a corporate body woman that is, okay? I knew that because when I hugged her, she had been heavy in the past. In other words, heavy with flesh. And now she had a waistline. In the dream, I knew who she was, and when I awoke, I did not know who she was. She was, obviously, this is saying that she was heavy with flesh when she left, but after returning, she had less flesh, symbolizing a measure of repentance had been granted, we believe, to the factious. There's nobody else that fits this. There's no other corporate body that fits this. In the next part of the dream, I saw her sitting on a low-back living room chair in a room with many people. Then David walked in behind her, leaned over, and gave her a long, loving kiss. During the kiss, the thought came to me, he is married. Yeah, wow, this is all just fitting in with Scripture, folks. Father Abraham had a wife, Sarah, whose good fruit was the chosen people of God, Isaac, right? He also had a concubine handmaid that he loved, Hagar, whose fruit was Ishmael. And this is being shown as a type for the David man-childs of our day. Listen to what the Scripture says, Galatians 4 and 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. However, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh. So the fruit of Hagar is born after the flesh. But the son by the free woman, Sarah, is born through promise. So that's two different corporate body women that we're dealing with here, and a separation has to be made between the two. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. There's only one married wife here. Abraham was married, but he sowed the seed in two different women. And as it is today, the Davids are sowing the seed of the word in whosoever will. And he loves them all, but only those those with the fruit of the promised seed will be chosen. The promised seed, of course, is the word manifested in those that bear fruit. And the Davids are sowing the seed, like I said, in many people, all of which they love. Anyway. So the dream goes on. When David stood up, I noticed that he had green lips. Well, green represents life, and together with lips represents love imparted through the word of life, right? And, Abraham loved Hagar, but he asked if God would accept Ishmael as the chosen promised seed, and God said no. And history proved why. The man-child Abraham sowed the true seed in the elect and non-elect alike. But the elect bore good fruit, and the non-elect bore the fruit of bitterness and hatred. All right, well, that's plain. Wow, what a parable. And what proof from God? Who could think up these things? You know? Especially when they're asleep, right? Wow, awesome. In the next part of the dream, the woman is outside sitting in a type of car without a top. In other words, her way, car represents the way that people travel, her way has no covering. And I believe it represents no blood covering. And there were other people in the car. She was upset, crying, and wailing, saying, David, 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 many times. And as David turned to come back in, we knew she was making such a scene because David had sent her away. There were no fleshly emotions, and we knew it was something that had to be done. Yes, it has to be done. The Hagars have to be separated from the Sarahs. They have a different reward for each and a different need for each. Okay? The man-child Davids will do as the man-child Abraham did. Send away into the wilderness those with bad fruit that persecute their brother, Israel. They will be under the beast crucifixion to see if any repent. Galatians 4:29 says, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. And I have to say, so also is it now. The same thing is happening now. And throughout history that's been the truth. Verse 30, Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. The two different fruits and two different women. And neither Hagar nor Ishmael were going to inherit with Sarah and Isaac. And so it is today, we should say, right? A woman or a corporate body of people will return, but will not be chosen to be with the bride, and will be rejected by the Davids. That's what the parable is saying, and that's what Galatians said. Some of those who return will be part of another corporate body woman who represents those who are fully repented and obedient to the Word. In other words, they brought forth the fruit of the Word, which is what Isaac, the promised seed, represents. And they'll be chosen because of their fruit. And there's no use in arguing about this. We're just going to wait and see. Right? It's all going to be proven by God Himself. Praise be to God. Some people can say, they can rail and slander and think all that's going to do them some good. But I tell you what, we're going to find out. We just have to wait and see, right? The Davids loved everybody that received their words, but it's got to be the fruit that comes forth that causes a person to be chosen or not, and which corporate body they belong to, the free woman or the handmaid. If you bear the fruit of Ishmael, you are definitely a seed of the handmaid and not the free woman. And then Trish said, as I was praying about the dream, I asked for a word, and the closest Bible was a Living Bible, and I received by random Matthew 27:43, with my finger on, I am God's son. And I knew David was a son of God through faith, not a son of man. In other words, in the spirit, a son of God. So this is the Davids that we're talking about here. I mean, obviously God is using me as a parable, but anything that He's doing in me, He's doing around the world. And again, if I don't bear fruit, I wouldn't be in this either. And God can use people as a sign. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to inherit the sign, right? So I know people have gotten puffed up in the past because they were used in a parable. That they were somebody, you know, but hey, you got to You have to bear fruit to be that. I mean, obviously, the promises are in the Word are to you, but if you don't mix them with faith, then they're not going to come to pass. Faith and obedience. Faith without works is dead. Faith and obedience, they won't come to pass. Okay? Then Trish said, I asked for a second word and received Numbers 1, 50 through 54. But appoint thou the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the furniture thereof, and over all that belongeth to it. Well, we know the tabernacle is the people of God, and these are the ministers. Not everybody can say they are a minister, nor should they open their mouth as though they are a minister, because God is going to prove who's going to be the minister. He's going to cause it to happen. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the furniture thereof, and they shall minister unto it, unto the tabernacle, which is the people, right? And shall encamp round about the tabernacle. Well, amen. The ministers of the sanctuary cannot be Hagarites with the fruit of Ishmael. Okay? And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Yeah, anybody that usurps the authority of the true leadership is going to be put to death. And we have that in the Korah rebellion. We saw these people usurped authority, but they rebelled against Moses, and they were swallowed up by the earth, meaning they were dead according to their own flesh. Their own flesh swallowed them up. And that certainly happened. There's just no question about that to anybody that got eyes to see. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, according to their hosts. But the Levites shall encamp round about the tabernacle of the testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Amen. They're going to be obedient. Right? Thus did the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And then Trish said, I saw David as a type of Levite keeping in divine order the tabernacle, and us being a living tabernacle, so we need to be in order or we will suffer the wrath of God. Well, that's true. The Levites were God's inheritance. They were faithful. Now, when much of Israel turned away, and we're obviously going to see people turn away and go into the wilderness to be crucified. Why did God, throughout generations, raise up a beast to crucify his people? Because they weren't obedient to the Lord. And they always rebelled against his authority. Read the prophets. Read Moses. Read Jesus. Read all of them. You can see that they always rebelled. And what did they get for it? Well, the same old thing. Bondage to the beast, the curse, etc., etc. So let's read this text of Galatians here all the way through so you can see. It says, I'll start in verse 19, Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I am again in travail, until Christ, that is the Word, be formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. There were some going astray, obviously, right? They were not letting the Word rule in their hearts. They were in rebellion against the Word. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law. The law is the works of the flesh, right? The law represents people who do of their own ability what God has not given grace to do. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, In other words, this is the fruit of the flesh that is born to Hagar. But the son of the free woman, that is Sarah, is born through promise. In other words, the fruit that was born to Sarah came through believing the promises. These are people with faith. When people rebel and they let demons in, they don't have faith anymore. They have no faith. They couldn't heal a fly. They don't walk in healing, deliverance, power. They don't have any of that. Their heart down inside condemns them, and so they have no boldness towards God. And verse 24, which things contain an allegory or a parable? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar represents those are in bondage. What kind of bondage? Well, I'll share with you that in just a little bit. Anyway, the bondservant is the one who sins, and the bondservant doesn't abide in the house forever. The son abides forever. That's what the Bible says. So, anyway, the Hagarites are in bondage to bad fruit. Now, verse 25. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. Bondage to what? Bondage to the beast. Hagar represents a body of people who are in bondage to their beastly flesh. And ultimately, they're going to come under the bondage of the beast of this world, physically, not just spiritually. Those who are disciples in name, but not in truth. They are unregenerate Jerusalem and not heavenly Jerusalem and must be rejected and must be separated from the bride for a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump, right? This is God's plan and it's happening. And there is an opportunity for repentance, I believe, until the third day, as we saw in Ezra. We saw a parable there that the Lord gave to us concerning them coming back, returning to Jerusalem before the third day. And some did return before the third day. And some brought their foreign wives, or representing their being mixed up in a false corporate body, right? Foreign wives. But 26 says, but the Jerusalem that is above, that is Sarah, is free, which is our mother. He's talking, of course, to disciples of Christ, true disciples of Christ. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Her that hath the husband is, of course, Sarah. And the one that's desolate is, of course, Hagar. Hagar had many children. And that's something. The body that was born to Sarah was much smaller. There are many called, but few chosen, the Bible says. Folks, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. It matters if you are a Christian. Those who truly have faith will have works. Because faith without works is dead. I will show you my faith by my works, James said. So when you look at somebody's fruit and their disobedience to the word, you ought to know that this is Hagar. And if they're persecuting their brethren self-righteously while they themselves are in all kinds of sin, that's Hagar. You know? For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Well, the desolate Hagar bore much bad fruit with no love, and then Sarah bore the smaller body of the fruit of the chosen. Verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. So also it is now. The Ishmaels persecute and hate the Isaacs. And of course, everybody that listens to them gets the same disease. So they obviously can be tempted with evil and they are overtaken by it. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. In other words, bear the fruit of the word, or you will be rejected. Very plain. Some will be in the refuge of the bride, and some will go into tribulation under the beast for crucifixion. Chapter 5 and verse 1 says, For freedom did Christ set us free. The free woman was Sarah. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Well, yeah, some brethren have been entangled in a yoke of bondage, and that is Hagar. Very clearly. Now, we got a dream about this. At the same time as Trisha's dream, and Mary Burns had this dream. And it was of going to the refuge while others went into the wilderness. Yeah. Wow. God speaks, you know, and He quite often gives us confirming words that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Right? Isn't that awesome how God does that? So listen to this. For about 1 year, I've had an ongoing dream. December of 2012 through November of 2013. Part one was replayed over and over again for the first 7 months. Wow. You know, Joseph said that when a dream is doubled, it means it's surely going to come to pass. The Lord's going to bring it to pass, right? Part two was recent and replayed several times since August of 2013 until the present November of 2013. So God certainly confirmed this dream according to the Word of God. Now, I know some people don't like dreams, especially when they're speaking about them. And, of course, they put down on dreams and they put down on words from the Lord, etc., etc. But it won't do any good because God is about to prove this. The only thing people can do is have a relationship, a true relationship with the real God. Not with Ishmael's God. You can't figure out how Ishmael's God could possibly be God, could you? No, you can't. You can't imagine it. Because there's just no fruit there. Okay, so part one. I'm walking into the woods away from Knoxville. Although there is not a defined path, there is, after I go some distance, a ridge with a slight path. It follows the upper portion of the ridge of each hill. After walking a considerable way, I looked down at the gully or ravine below me, and I see fire. Looking back towards the city, to the north, it too is on fire. Well, this doesn't surprise us because we've had other dreams about Knoxville sinking into the Tennessee River because of two earthquake faults that come on either side of it. And so this doesn't surprise us even a tiny bit. Okay, this is a confirmation, but I must say that Mary hasn't probably been privy to these dreams. You know, she's a recent person who has come here, okay, and recently, you know, came to the Lord. So this has been going on for quite a while with this dream, okay? Pretty good confirmation. And so my backpack is heavy, but I don't feel the load. As I look behind me, I see a group of people, maybe 10, and they're following me. And I explain to them, I don't know where I am going. I just wanted you all to know this because if you're following me, I could be leading you in the wrong direction. I am not familiar with these woods, and I really don't know where I'm going or where I will end up. Well, we need to follow Jesus, right? But you know, some people are guided by the Lord even when they don't know it because of what God is going to make out of them. So you may be surprised, the people that bump into your life and get a little something from you and get some good direction from that. Even though you don't claim to be a leader, it doesn't make any difference. If you got some fruit of Jesus and some knowledge of the Lord, you're affecting people around you. And God can move those people. She said, they looked at me with a vacant, blank stare and appeared to nod, but none of them spoke. It occurred to me that they had no provisions. They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared for what? Well, this catastrophe that obviously has taken that city. They weren't prepared. And Mary lived in that city, right? And even now, she's in the process of moving out of it. Obviously, to escape what this dream is all about, you know? And actually, when she decided to move out of it, that's when the dreams stopped. It was a good warning from God. But I want to tell you, it's a warning to everybody, because this nation is going to be a nation of refugees fleeing from one catastrophe after another all the way across this nation. Be ready to move. Be prepared. You know? What is it to be prepared to escape? You know? Righteousness delivereth from death. We know. Proverbs says it over and over. We must be prepared to escape judgment through holiness. She went on to say, it looked like they just left wherever they were with the clothing on their backs and dropped what they were doing and started walking. Well, that is the facts, folks. I got to tell you, that's the facts. The overwhelming majority of the people and the people of the church haven't the foggiest idea what's about to happen or that they need to be prepared for it. Most of the church is prepared to fly away and that's it. They're not prepared to stay. They're not prepared to go into the wilderness. But they're gone anyway. And so obviously Mary's been prepared for this and knew it was coming. And that's true. She does know this. I continued walking for what seemed miles. And when I looked back, the people were still following me. It seemed like others had joined them, and maybe 20 of them. But as I looked over the horizon, I could see the tiny trail I had forged was now a matted down path, and the silhouettes of people lined the ridge like ants on an anthill, marching in formation, one behind the other, as they navigated the ridge, the high place, right? Yeah, because there's going to be water everywhere up there. I just got to tell you, we've had dreams about the thing sinking and going under the water. Major slip faults go through that area, and it's going to be a place of judgment. And of course, it's just one of many, you know, places of judgment. You talk about Fukushima, look at all the nuclear plants that are sitting on rivers that are on fault lines and cross fault lines. Amazing. You know, rivers are going to dry up, rivers are going to come where there weren't any. Water's going to be where there wasn't any, and they're not going to be able to keep these things running, or they're going to be able to keep them cool down to stop them either. So I mean, you're talking about Fukushima everywhere now. Anyway, the fire blazed on in the ravine, and the city was no longer visible. Only large looming clouds in the distance. Again, I asked the 20 or so behind me, please tell them not to follow me. I'm not the leader. I'm not the expert. I don't know where I'm going. I worry wherever I go, if they follow me, if there will be a place for each to lay their head and enough food to feed them all. Yeah, well, that's true. And don't count on Uncle Scam either. Folks, remember what happened down there in New Orleans with Katrina. and what happened on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Remember that. And what happened with the Gulf oil debacle. Remember that. Just remember, don't count on them. Now, they're going to do everything they can to make you dependent upon them, including steal your stored-up food and your guns, if you've got any guns out there. And they're going to take care of all of that because they want you totally dependent upon them. And yet, they're not dependable. Duh. And they'll probably have to put you in FEMA camps in order to do what they're going to do, okay? But, you know, their whole system stinks, and it's run by a bunch of lawless thugs. But the truth is, God is the one that's doing this. And he is bringing persecution upon his people for the purpose of bringing them to sanctification. And Mary said, I became angry with them and demanded them repeatedly to stop following me. Okay, and then there was a part two. And she said, this dream occurred with frequency until we purchased the property in the refuge, by the way. And I want to say, too, that people are led to follow by God putting it in their heart. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense sometimes. But if you're going in the right direction, that's good. So, and this, of course, was a refuge in Tennessee. And with the advent of the blessing of the property and the anointing of the buildings within the property, I had a dream while sleeping in the camper there. The dream begins where we're all walking in the woods. I have no idea how many people are following anymore, but of the 20 or 30 I can see, none have spoken to me. They nod. They smack the bugs that have lit down upon them, but none talk to me. None argue the course or question why we cannot walk alongside the highway or county road. Well, obviously, you know, that martial law is going to be everywhere and looking to snag people up and put them in FEMA camps. So, she said, I'm grateful because I have no answer. As we continue walking, the evening seems to last a long time, but I step up the pace because I feel we will lose the little light we have. I see, of course, this is probably a type of going into more and more darkness. Darkness is going to cover the earth, right? Gross darkness to people, but light will shine upon thee. You know, obviously. I see no moon, only clouds. I feel I have accepted my role. I no longer feel the need to cast them away or warn them. I don't know where I'm going. In fact, I feel confident. I do know where I'm headed, and I'm understanding in my head that I must do as the sign said, the one I saw located under the overpass the day we first came to the refuge, when Annie and I inspected the little house. The words were, trust Jesus, it said in big letters. Finally, we came upon the property. It looks like our place in the refuge, the place that they actually got, you know. And there's a gate, and it's open. And I believe that this represents coming into the refuge. And I'm directing people in, and there are others directing as well. They have lights, torches maybe. Not everyone is selected to go in. For some, they come inside the gate, and others go on, and they continued down the road. Well, we know that as God directs them around the refuge, they're going to continue on. If he directs them into the refuge, and that's where their heart is drawing them, that's where they'll stay. Inside the gate, there are small cottages everywhere, and each is lit. People are being shuffled to the house prepared for them. Some, however, take a look at the accommodations and decide to depart. They are the last to leave before the gate closes. Remember the gate closing? How many times have we had the gate closing here lately? Revelations of it. In the end, there is room enough for everyone and food enough for all. That is, for all that are inside the gate. The people who belong there, right? The gate closing. Remember what we found out from Ison? The third day, the day of resurrection, is a symbol of the time when the gate closes to be in the bride. And that's what Ezra said. The story of Ezra. Maybe I will take a moment to read that to you, and then we'll go on with this, okay? The Lord gave us this through faith. It's Ezra 9 and verse 7. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem, the bride, unto all the children of the captivity, you know, the ones that are captive to the beast right now, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, that is, to return to the bride, right? And that whosoever came not within 3 days, which is what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the man-child. When is that going to be fulfilled? Well, the signs of it are being fulfilled in the heavens right now. You just saw Ison resurrected. And he's warning you that these days are drawing nigh. That whosoever came not within the 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all of his substance would be forfeited. In other words, all of his inheritance in Jerusalem or the bride is forfeited. And himself separated from the assembly of the captivity. Of course, that's the assembly of the captivity that obeyed and came within the 3 days. They're going to be separated from them. The rest of the story tells the same. Micah 4 talks about this. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within the 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the broad place before the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, You have trespassed, you have married foreign women. Foreign women translates to the harlot in Proverbs chapter 2, chapter 5, and chapter 7. Foreign women. Strange women, sometimes they're called in those texts too. Who is that? Hagar was a foreign woman. So he wants you to come out of Hagar. Separate yourselves from people that have the fruit of Ishmael, that hate their brother and persecute their brother. To increase the guilt of Israel, they have. How did they do that? By marrying foreign women. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land, from the Hagarites, right? And from the foreign women. Then all the assembly answered and said, with a loud voice, As thou hast said concerning us, so must we do. But the people, and that, of course, that's the people that returned to Jerusalem. The rest of them didn't say that, but the people that returned said that. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain. It could be the latter rain, right? And we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of 1 day or two. For we have greatly transgressed in this matter. So they repented, or at least some of them did, some of them didn't, as we read on. Let now our princes be appointed for all the assembly. They got new leadership, new elders, right? The people that came out of captivity, because most of those elders wouldn't return, right? And let all of them that are in our cities that have married foreign women come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God be turned from us. Until this matter be dispatched. make no mistake about it, the fierce wrath of God is upon them, and will continue upon them until there's repentance. Only Jonathan, the son of Asahel, and Jahaziah, the son of Tikvah, stood up against this matter. They rebelled. And Meshulam and Shabbatai, the Levite, helped them. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the fathers' houses, after their fathers' houses, and all of them by their own names, were set apart. And there had to be a division. A division had to come. The division has to come between those who are of the foreign women and those who are not. The division has to come between the Sarahs and the Hagarites. And they sat down in the first day of the 10th month. Well, it started out in the 9th month, so we're talking about a month here. To examine the matter, and they made an end with all the men that had married foreign women by the first day of the first month. So, in a couple of months, they not only came out of beast bondage, they got the beast bondage out of them. That is, of the people that repented. They repented of being Hagarites. Right? So, you know, God can bring you out, and you realize you're wrong, but then God has to work on you to bring you to repentance to get it out of you, right? And I believe this is a prophecy from God. It's going to come to pass. Okay, so now let's go back to Mary's dream. So there were people who passed on who didn't stay in the refuge. God did not put it in their heart to be there. For those who leave, no one, despite the long walk, seems upset at moving on. Each has decided for themselves to leave. Yeah. Finally, there are no more people walking along the path, and the gate is closed, and all around us, as it was in Egypt, is darkness. But each cottage is filled with light, as it was in Goshen. Right? So there was a refuge. It was called Goshen. And on and on. So we see people are choosing either to be in Egypt or to be in Goshen. Right? There has to be a separation. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. God is making a holy body that can survive this tribulation that's coming and all the judgments that are coming upon the world. And He's sending another body of rebellious people of His into judgment, that they have a short time to repent, right? And Mary goes on to say, in these dreams, we are all in the pasture lands close to our cottages. These dreams are a short snapshots of powerful graphic scenes, brief but potent in their clarity, and visually violent in content. These came 1 month ago and have continued in small bursts. Okay. First, there's fighting all around us. You remember Garrett's dream? He saw this happen when he went outside the refuge. He saw this fighting going on, bands of men with guns, etc., etc., and he turned around and came back on the refuge. We are able to see so many heinous crimes happening. That is around them. But we are not any part of it. They don't fight us. We apparently have nothing of value. You know, I've said for a long time, the property value here will plummet. It's not going to be worth anything because people are going to be afraid to come here. That's God's plan. You know, He drove the Canaanites out with the hornet. A spirit of fear. He drove them out. And that's what He's going to do again. And as the Tanukans, as she called them, quote unquote, Tanukans, search out the rich, they seem to feel entitled and possessed with a profound sense of authority. Isn't that interesting? People are going to search out the rich because of their greed and in a time of desperate want and economic total crumbling. They're going to search out the rich. They do not try to overtake us or rob us. We are a joke to them. Yeah, crazy people, they think these are crazy people to live in a dangerous place, right? And we're of no value. We have nothing they want to steal, and we are foolish to them and of no consequence to those they fight. The scenes we witness include beheadings, floggings, hangings, stabbing, and shooting, and are hard to erase, so I selected not to describe them here. Yeah, you know what happens to people who don't have Jesus Christ in them when they get in a desperate situation. They turn back to their animal instincts, don't they? And that includes conservatives, folks. You're just not going to believe that we're going to have enemies on both sides, the conservatives and the liberals. You know. And Mary goes on to say, the morning after having this dream, I am curious to find out what the word Tanukins means, which I believe to be a place of which these people are named for, and I find nothing. So she did a search and didn't find anything about it. The next night, the same dream, and I'm informed as they are laughing at me that they are not the Tanukins. They're a faction. What has become of the Tea Party Republicans? And they are battling anyone who has something they want. So the factions and Tea Party Republicans and, you know, people that you think are your ally when it comes to desperate situations, that the only ally you have is a true Christian and the Lord. They tell me they're unconcerned with us because we have nothing and we are nothing. Yeah. Okay. So you notice that the right wing will be as dangerous as the left wing in a life and death circumstances, and because they're not born from above, are they? I mean, you've learned, if you've been here very long, that born from above is spirit, soul, and body. And that's the Lord's plan. Praise God. So Eisen just performed for us the death, burial, and resurrection. And it represents the time of closing the door to the bride body. In other words, closing the door of more people entering into the bride body, right? Very interesting. Thank you for that, Mary. That's a very interesting dream. Very true, too. So there has to come a division. There is a uniting. I mean, the Lord speaks about gathering the tares in bundles to burn them. And he also talks about gathering his people into his barn, right? His fruit into his barn. Well, amen to that. So, you know, going back to Galatians 4, we see that the Lord is making this division between the Hagarites and the Sarahites because of their fruit. And I'll read to you a portion of what really separates people in this regard. It's in John chapter 8. And I'll read to you 34 and 35, and then maybe I'll read the larger text. It says, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, every one that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. You know, who was in bondage? Well, it was Hagar, right? Is the bondservant of sin. You know what the Lord desires us to see here? Depart from sin. Whatever you're doing, you need to pay the price now. Not later. It'll be much harder later. And 35, And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The son abideth forever. What was Hagar being separated for? There you go. And now let me go back. Let me see. Let me go back to verse 31 and read it. Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that had believed him. So we're not talking about what the worldly church calls unbelievers. They believe him. He says to them, If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. You know, James 1 and 22 says, don't be a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, deluding yourselves. There are deluded people out there. They think they're believers, but they don't abide in the word, and they're not truly disciples, which means a learner and a follower. So, I mean, those of you that are caught up in religion out there, you need to read the New Testament, and if necessary, stay home and read the New Testament till you find out what a disciple is. Because there are people that are in church for many, many years, and they never find that out. It's there. It's in the black and white. It's not hard to find out. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, you need to know the truth. You're not going to get it out of the apostate pulpits of this land. They answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou? See, they're counting on who they knew. But, you know, Abraham had two seeds. And we're not talking in the natural, we're talking in the spiritual. And those rebellious Jews who turned away from Abraham's path, they were not of the spiritual seed of Abraham. And that's what counts now. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, they didn't even know they were in bondage, and they don't know today that they're in bondage. They're just not disciples of the word. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. No, they think having more sin is showing more grace. You know, they don't think that grace delivers from sin. Instead, they think their sins are just wonderful because God shows his grace in forgiving them. Mm-hmm. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever, the son abideth forever. And that's, of course, the seed of the promise, right? If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet, in the natural he's talking about, yet you seek to kill me. Oh my goodness, this is Abraham's seed through Hagar. It's Ishmael. He said, because my word hath not free course in you, I speak the things which I have seen with my father, and you also do the things which you heard from your father. Wow, he said they were a seed of Abraham, naturally speaking, but they have a spiritual seed, which is the devil. He said, you are from beneath. I am from above. That's what he told them. They answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children. Okay, so now he just got through saying they were Abraham's seed. And now he's saying, if you were, which means in the spirit. Right? Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. There it is, just plain as the nose on your face. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. And they said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Oh. For I came forth and have come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, it's your will to do. Yeah, they were persecuted. Every him that's born after the flesh persecutes him that's born after the spirit. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. But because I say the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? If I say truth, why do you not believe me? He that's of God hears the words of God. For this cause you hear them not, because you're not of God. Okay, Ishmaels are all over the place. there's a greater number of them, according to Galatians chapter 4, than there is the people of the kingdom. They're all over the place. A separation has to be made. And that's what God's doing, right? I received this text. You know what the number of division is, or the number of separation is? It's 2. So, look at Proverbs 2:22. And it says, the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Hagarites have no business in Sarah's land. Go back to 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Notice that. There's three different groups of people here. The wicked, the upright, and the perfect. And, of course, the bride is going to remain in the refuge. Some upright folks, although they're not of the maturity or purity of the bride, are not promised to stay there. It says, the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Okay, so you can see very plainly, there's three groups of people here. And the separation, that's what God's doing. That's what the number 2 represents, right? Yeah. Oh, thank you, Father. Please give us wisdom, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to share another verse here. Now, this is was given to Pamela Orr, and she got 2 Kings 2, the same two verses, 21 and 22. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast salt therein, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or miscarrying. Folks, what waters is he talking about? He's talking about the waters that come out of a man's mouth. James talked about them. The sweet and the bitter waters coming out of the same entrance. He's talking about what people say, that being destruction upon them, you know. And I believe that the man child, just as in this case, is going to heal the waters. He's going to cast salt in the waters to heal the waters. And of course, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good to be nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men, Jesus said, meaning they're going under the beast. They can't agree with the word of God. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. They can't agree with the word of God. They don't have any faith. It's bringing a curse upon them. Their waters are cursed. But for those that repent, the man-child is going to heal their waters. He said, there shall not be from thence any more death or miscarrying. What's miscarrying? The giving up of the fruit. The death of the fruit. The waters poison those whose tongue is bitter. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spake. Oh yeah, that's a good word. I like that. And I received a word in one of our... Some of these words were received, in fact, all of them were received in our morning prayer meetings. We always come together and we ask, we pray, and we ask God to give us a word concerning the situations going on around us sometimes, or, you know, concerning the things that are coming, or whatever. And we get some awesome, awesome answers. Because be it unto you according to your faith. If you believe God will do it, He will do it. You know, when a person prophesies, or when they get a word of knowledge or wisdom, they're just offering themselves to whatever word God wants to put in them. And this receiving words from the Lord by faith that He's going to speak is the same kind of a thing. There's no difference whatsoever. And obviously, every word needs to be judged, because sometimes God could say, thou shalt die and not live, and you might be saying, wait a minute, Lord, I know you're testing me, but I'm believing for your covenant promise to me. And, of course, God tests you that way, too. So, sometimes he gives warnings that if we pray and we cast down the principalities and powers, they won't come to pass. I personally don't believe Mary's dream is going to physically come to pass. It's already spiritually coming to pass. But physically, I don't think she'll have to flee from Knoxville in that form or fashion. Anyway, I received this word, Daniel 5 and 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of dark sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Daniel, who is a type of the man-child who received dominion and authority during the tribulation, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And we know that he did show the interpretation of what was written on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And that's interpreted in verse 25. Mene, meaning God has numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. And he's speaking, of course, to the beast kingdom. Daniel, who was a man who had an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreted dreams, and so on and so forth. And this is the reason he was promoted in the kingdom. God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. He's talking to the beast here. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Do you think that he does that with Christians? I guarantee you, because many Christians are in the body of the beast, because they're walking in the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. And Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And, of course, Belshazzar clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom, etc., etc. So he was promoted because he had wisdom that the beast didn't have, right? And also, another word that we received, Don Laughlin received, is Luke 9 and 51. And it came to pass, when the days were well nigh come, that he should be received up. What does that mean? Caught up to the throne? Yeah, I think so. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Wow. Now, that's interesting. He's going to the bride. He's about to be received up, and he's going to the bride, right? All right. Well, I had a confirming word that was just so awesome. I received it the same way, and I'll share it with you. And I got 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. In times past, even when Saul was king, it was thou that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt be shepherd of my people, Israel, and thou shalt be prince over my people, Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And then we received this again, verse 3 through 9, which I've already read part of it. I received that days back, and then we received it again, 3 through 9, and I just read part of it. And verse 4 said, And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, the same as Jebus, and the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. And that's the unregenerate inhabitants of unregenerate Jerusalem, right? And the inhabitants of Jebus said unto David, Thou shalt not come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. So he went to the city of David. He went to Jerusalem, and it was in the time he was being caught up to the throne. That's what Don Laughlin's word said, right? And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain, and Joab, The son of Zeruiah went up first and was made chief. And David dwelt in the stronghold, therefore called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, from Milo even around about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. And David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Oh, amen. And I'll read to you a dream that Rob Miller, who is a faithful servant in our Pal Talk room there, keeps it going for us. Praise God. He said, "Hi, Dave. An open vision was given while I was reading Hosea. I saw a baby, a man child, weeping in the nursery of a church, Ephraim, for the church knows not the nearness of their visitation." Oh, this is so true. So many just are not prepared, just like in Mary's dream. They're not prepared. He gives verses, Hosea 9 and 3. "They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria." You know, that Syria represents the beast, and Egypt represents the world, right? "They shall not dwell." A separation is being made in God. Of course, the man-child and the Lord in the man-child is saddened by the fact that God's people are not prepared to escape. And they don't know the nearness of their visitation, just as the word that was given to Rob. And Hosea 9 and 7, "The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the man that hath the spirit is mad, for the abundance of thine iniquity, and because the enmity is great." Yes, boy, I tell you, the prophet out there, the majority of them are just that, foolish. Hosea 9 and 9, "They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins." And Hosea 12 and 9, "But I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. I will yet again make thee to dwell in tents as in the days of the solemn feast." Thank you for that, Rob. It's another match with the man-child business there. And I also received today Esther chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9. You say, "That's nothing new, David. I've heard that before." Yeah, I have too. I've gotten this so many times I couldn't write it in my margin anymore. It says, "Let royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, on the head of which is a crown royal, is set, and let the apparel and the horse be delivered into the hand of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man wherewith whom the king delighteth to honor, and cause him to ride on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus saith, shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Oh, glory be to God. Again, a reference to the coming of the man-child ministry, just like Ison and Tecumseh are pointing to here. Oh, glory be to God. And also, we received, Don Laughlin received, Zechariah chapter 8. Let me read that to you. And he received the first part of it, but he felt like the whole chapter was what the Lord was pointing out. Let me read this to you. It's awesome. "And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion." And, of course, he said he was going to do this on the morning of the third day, right, which is where we are now, the third thousand-year day, the morning of the since the coming of Jesus. the birth of the man child, I should say. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Yes, God's presence was in Jerusalem, and God's presence is in the bride. Yeah. I mean, read Song of Solomon. The bride had the Lord in her heart. And the queens and the concubines didn't understand her running fanatically after her beloved. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. Yes, great truth is about to go out of the bride throughout this world. And the mountain of the Lord's house, the holy mountain. The holy mountain. Holy means separate, sanctified. Separate from sin. And now we know with the casting out of Hagar and her fruit, there's a separation. The leaven is being cast out. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. You say, boys and girls? Yes, the bride is going to have boys and girls in it. Because what God wants is purity and innocence. And even people will be there that are not mature in the knowledge of the Lord or the ways of the Lord, but they're walking in the holiness that they know. And how many of you know? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And to him that is walking in the light, nothing else shows before God. They're under the blood. If you sin willfully after you receive a knowledge of the truth, you're not under the blood. And certain fearful expectation of judgment will follow you. I don't care what you believe about it. There's a lot of people, they've got their head stuck in the sand, but their tail's up in the air. You know, and everybody can see it but them. They're willfully blind about their situation. But there'll be boys and girls there, and there'll be people that consider themselves mature not there. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. People are coming to be in the bride. They're coming to be in the bride's refuge because the bride is a refuge. She's a refuge because she did not go under the dominion of the beast, as we spoke about Assyria in Egypt. She didn't go under the dominion of the beast. She was separated and sanctified and delivered because of holiness, because she dwelled in the king's house. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words from the mouth of the prophets that were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord's house was laid, even the temple. When is the foundation laid? It's about to be laid. The man-child is the one that's going to lay it. Zerubbabel is going to lay it. Joshua and Zerubbabel, both types, are going to lay it. And they're going to finish it. That it might be built. For before those days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the adversary. The adversary, of course, we know is Satan, but people have been delivered over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. That's what's about to happen. And yes, the economy is going to crumble. No hire for man nor hire for beast. It's going to crumble miserably. And the people who want to take over and take control and bring into bondage, and they've been wanting to do this for a long time, are going to do it. They're going to get their chance, right? The beast is going to control the saints, and some people will just have to lose their head in order to gain their life. For I will set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the remnant of this people, that is Jerusalem, as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For there shall be the seed of peace. The vine shall give its fruit. That reminds you of Joel chapter 2, which we received. The Sennacherib scenario ended with the outpouring of the Spirit. Right? The destruction of that beastly Ishmael attack, and the coming of the Spirit of God to bring the fruit. The vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. Oh, glory be to God. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the nations, during the crucifixion, right? O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Yes, amen. God's promising good things to his people who will repent and follow him. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to do evil unto you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth with his neighbor. Oh boy, there's a lot of liars out there. Slanderers. Truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. The people of peace, the people of Isaac, are the people of peace, right? Not Ishmael. And let none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore love truth and peace. If you love truth and peace, he said, you're going to have joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Praise God. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, and I will go also. So, you know what? These things that are coming are going to cause people to seek the Lord. There's many people out there. You can't imagine how many people have had an experience with the Lord and went back into the world because of what they saw in the church. A lot of hypocrisy and a lot of evil. And they're just out there waiting. They don't really know what to do or where to go, but the fear of the Lord is about to be restored through judgment, and many will turn, and they will seek Jerusalem. Let's go up to Zion. That's where the leadership is. Yea, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And he will be favorable unto them. Many people will give up their crown, and many others will come and take them up. Let no man take thy crown, the Lord exhorts us, right? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. That is a Jew according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Those who are circumcised in heart, not circumcised in flesh. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, the Bible says, but inwardly, the circumcision of the heart. So take it. So we have to see this in the Spirit. Him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Oh, hallelujah. How awesome is God? He's going to make this division, this separation, for the sake of his people. It has to be done. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So he's going to give us the 2-2-2 treatment. Glory to God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we love you. And we know that that's just words, and it will be proven by those who keep your commandments. And we know that you see all and know all, and that you're a good God, and that everything you do is right and proper and in order. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you pour out your grace upon your people, Father, that you give wisdom, that you raise up new leadership, that the Sauls give way to the Davids, who sanctified Jerusalem by casting out the old man and bringing in the new man, just as we've seen, that you've been sanctifying your man-child ministry, Lord, in order to do this, and that you'll be sanctifying your witness ministry and the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ. You'll be doing all these things in the days to come to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in the whole body of Christ. And the body of Christ will rise up like a mighty man in the earth, Lord, stronger than the beast, who is much bigger, stronger. The stone that was cut out of the mountain is going to roll down in the end times and hit the beast in the feet, in the 10 toes, in the 10-toed kingdom, and crumble the whole thing all the way back to the beginning. The whole thing is going to be destroyed. Lord, we thank you for the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense that you and your leadership have become in this world. We praise you, Father, that the wicked have also always, the Ishmaelites have always hated your leadership from the very beginning. And even those who were under the law in Jerusalem hated your, because they were just Ishmaelites, no matter who they were in the flesh. And, Lord, they've hated your leadership from the beginning. We see that same repetition of history all the way through the Bible, and it's going to be no different this time. But we thank you, Lord, for your holy people that are coming out of Egypt and out of Assyria, out of the world beast, to the leadership in Jerusalem. And we know, Father, that this is going to be a great time of teaching. Men of wisdom, men of discernment, like Daniel, like David, like Joseph, and all in whom the Lord Jesus lives are going to be raised up by him, not by man, not by themselves, not by their own abilities, but by God, to do this wondrous work, Lord. And who on earth at this time, Lord, could do such a thing? No one. No one. No one is qualified. No one is able. It all comes because of your grace, Lord, just as we just got through reading. In Zechariah chapter 8, it's all going to come because of your mercy and grace. And the fruit is going to be born. Your people are going to rise up. And they are going to destroy, as we saw recently, the kingdom of the beast. They'll tear it down, not with their hands, but with their words, with their commands, with their authority, with their faith. And they will cast down the principalities and powers and those they inhabit. And that means the whole beast kingdom. They will come to naught. And the stone which rolled down out of the mountain, that crumbles the vision of the beast in Daniel, will become a mountain that fills the whole earth. And as we know from Revelation, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. O Lord, we praise You for this. O Lord, we ask that everyone listening today, if possible, would have a part in this and would take the easy way, Lord, the way of faithfulness and the way of repentance and the way of truth. They would take the easy way. The hard way, of course, is crucifixion by the world beast. And what a beast it is, Lord. And what hatred they have for righteousness. What hatred they will have for the hypocrites out there. They see hypocrites better than Christians do. And they hate them. You know, You put it, Lord, in the heart of the beast to burn the harlot with fire. And so You will do in these last days. Everything that's not of You will burn up in the fire. And everything that is of You can't be burned. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And that, of course, is only Your kingdom and only Your truth. Nothing else is going to work. Nothing else is going to enable Your people to escape or live through this time to come. Nothing else. And nothing less. And Lord, we praise You. We praise You and we thank You that it's by Your grace and that You will bring it to pass, O Lord. You will bring it to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praises to Your name, Father. Praises to Your name. God, do wonderful works. Pour out Your Spirit, Lord. Raise up Your man-child, Lord. Raise up Your witnesses, Lord. Raise up Your fivefold ministry. Raise up Your people, Lord. Have mercy and grant grace. And yes, separate the wicked. And yes, chasten them till they repent, if they will. And God, we love You and God, we praise You. Please, Lord, give us wisdom and direction, Lord. Lord, help us to read the signs properly, Lord. We can see that You're confirming the signs. The full manifestation of how this comes to pass is something we need to understand. We ask for Your grace, Lord. We ask for You to continue to give us truth and to open our understanding. And we thank You, Lord, that in the wilderness You've already provided everything that Your people need. Everything. Lord, You showed me, I believe it was 2007, or maybe it was 9, I lose track. Wonderful vision of Your people escaping to a refuge. And behind them was devastation and destruction, all kinds of chastenings, all kinds of Your wrath being poured out. And they were fleeing onto this property that was a refuge. And Lord, You are providing everything they needed there. And a time of place like the disciples had with You in the wilderness where You taught them and you multiplied the fishes and the loaves, and you made sure that their needs were met while they studied the Word. Now, Mary chose the better part, to sit at your feet and to study the Word. And Martha was all about serving, but she wouldn't sit at your feet. She wouldn't listen. She wouldn't do that which was eternal, to sit there and listen to the Word out of the mouth of the King. Lord, Lord, have mercy. Give grace, Lord. Let everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, have a desire to seek out truth in the Word of God, Lord. Please do this, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. We know you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And that's exactly what we ask for, Lord. We can't imagine the great things you've prepared for those that love you. And Lord, we thank you for it even now in the name of Jesus, for pouring out your Spirit upon us and opening our understanding, Lord, and giving us wisdom, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we know that you've told us these things for years, and it was only so that many, many people could understand them and could be a part of them. And many people think because things don't happen right away, they can't be true. Well, that's just totally foolish, because nobody would be involved in the great and wonderful thing you've prepared if the warning didn't go forth first. You know, Noah was given that warning 120 years before it came to pass. And ours are not nearly going to be that long. Praise be to God. We say, come, Lord Jesus, just like Ison is a symbol in the sky of your coming, and you're going through these steps and signs in the heavens, Lord. And bring forth your branch, O Lord. Bring forth your anointed, your crowned, O Lord. And lead us, Lord, and guide us. We need, you said you, in Ezekiel 34, would personally shepherd your sheep. And you would also use your Davids to do that. And so, Lord, we say, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We see the signs, and we thank you for them. And we say, come quickly. We're excited, Lord, about your coming. Welcome, great King. We see the signs, and we're excited, and we love you, and we praise you. And we're looking forward earnestly, Lord. We hope it's the next moment. We look at every opportunity, every sign, every opportunity of seeing you again, Lord, and we're eagerly waiting. And we will wait until we see it, Father. We believe, Lord, that you've shown us in these days just ahead that there's going to be earthquakes, revival, and a manifest coming of your man-child. And, Lord, we just praise you for it. Oh, Lord, the signs are out there. You've given us signs, and they're coming to pass before our eyes. And they're out there. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name that you've chosen us and given us grace to hear your voice. And for those that are among us that are leaven, Lord, that are destruction to the body, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, separate them, Lord. You said that the Davids were going to cast out the Hagars, Lord, like Abraham did. And Lord, we hear you. We hear you. It needs to be done. Lord, we can see so much wonderful peace and fruit in our local assembly since you started doing that, Lord. Oh, glory be to God. It is awesome. And throughout the larger body of UBM, we thank you. And throughout the larger body of Christ, we thank you. We know you're doing an awesome thing in these days. And we thank you for it, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Amen.